It's that time again. Time for Pissed Off Politically Speaking. From his deplorable broadcast bunker in Middle America, he is a national PR and campaign communication expert, editorial columnist, and former aide to three U.S. presidents. Here's your host, Scott Jones.
And a happy, happy Monday morning to you in America. It's a great fall day here in my part of the world. Welcome to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio, or now on Gab at Pops Radio, or the network at the 405 Radio. As we like to say, never a dull moment. Got a great show for you today. Coming up in our B block, we're going to have Fox News politics editor Chris Steyerwald is going to be joining us from the Washington Bureau of Fox News. We're going to check in with him, and God knows we're not short of headlines to talk to him about, but I'm real interested in getting his take on some of the things we're going to talk about this morning. You know, what I like about Chris Steyerwald is he tends to really call balls and strikes. You know, Ed Henry, James Rosen, Chris Steyerwald, all those hard news guys, and the Washington Bureau of Fox News tend to be the moniker of fair, balanced, and unafraid. So been trying for a couple of weeks to get him back on the show. I think this will be his fourth or fifth appearance, and he's always so kind to us. So I hope you'll stay with us throughout the show, because we're going to have Chris join us right after the mid-show break. But before we get there, we've got a half hour to kill, and who better to do it with than my mentor and the program director and president of the 405 Radio, one of my favorite people in the whole world, Mr. John Grant. Thanks for joining us and going along for the ride today.
Thank you, Scott. And once again, I appreciate your inviting me on today.
Well, I like checking in with you once a month. I miss the time we used to spend on another show, and I think our listeners definitely like hearing from you instead of me babbling on. So I know it's early in Los Angeles, and I really appreciate you making the time for us, and I know our listeners appreciate it too.
You bet. Thank you. And I can report that I cut the cord last week. I've got absolutely no cable television, and so we're just hanging out on Twitter and watching gas station TV, and that's where I get my news.
You know, I laugh so hard when you first sent that to me. If you don't follow John at JohnG405 on Twitter, and you're a conservative, you're missing out. And what was it, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, you tweeted me a picture at the gas pump of a gas station TV, and I think I sent back to you that it's probably got a higher journalistic standard than most of the mainstream media today. You know, and the way I look at it, John, if you're getting your news there, you had nowhere to go but up, given the alternatives.
Yeah, you know, I can take or leave some people who call themselves conservatives lately, and I would lump more media in there than just mainstream at this point, but perhaps that'll straighten itself out. The other day, the Comedy Central host, what's his name, the guy from South Africa, Trevor Noah said, we gotta save Spectrum because they're dumping Comedy Central. And I said, you know what, sucka, I already dumped Spectrum, so there.
Yay. Well, you know what, John, I don't think you're alone, and you know, kind of a undertone of the topics we're going to talk about this morning has that media component. And, you know, I continue to believe, I can't decide whether it's an okay thing that the broader media complex, and I know you've got some issues with some folks on Fox and all of that, but out of all of them, you know,
well,
that's the only watch.
Luck would have it, Salon made it easy for me, because they put out a list of the 25 conservatives most acceptable to Salon. So anybody on that list, you can pretty much go to the bank with the fact that I can take or leave whether they call themselves conservatives or not. And I know you got some friends on that list, but it is what it is.
You know, I haven't looked at that list. I'm gonna have to take a look at it. And you know, do you want to share some names that you think I might take issue with?
Ah, not really. You can look them up.
Oh, God.
You still want to keep them as guests, you know?
Come on. Come
kind of like Hugh Hewitt.
I don't mind.
You know,
I don't mind.
Hugh Hewitt never criticizes leadership because it's more important to him to keep them as interviews. That's fine. You know, that's his brand. But he doesn't do it. So there.
Never been a fan. Never been a fan. I know our colleague Tammy Jackson is a big fangirl of Hugh Hewitt. I almost put him in the category of David Gergen, but that's just me. But anyway.
Well, I look at it this way. You know, if you're doing a podcast, if you're doing a radio show, you've got to do some things which sustain that and make it work. And some people just aren't going to be on board with that. And that's the way it is. For me, it's the fact that, you know, he used to be on in the afternoon, and now he's on from 3 to 6 a.m. on the Pacific Coast. I think it's safe to say that between that and his MSNBC show, he's morphed into a Washingtonian. And
yeah.
That's kind of my line in the sand.
So, yeah, I agree. And you're not going to get any pushback from me that some of the folks at Fox News are having an identity crisis, Shep Smith, and deciding whether they're hard news or whether they're opinion news. But I guess I'll draw a circle, if you will, John, around the Washington Bureau of Fox News. I honestly think that's the crown jewel in the crown there in terms of their hard news operation and not New York, because I do think there's some good eggs there. And, of course, you know, I'm a big fan of Cheryl Atkinson, who's tends to be a real journalist these days.
Yeah, I would say, I know you've mentioned this Washington Bureau thing before. I think that's lost on the garden variety cable TV watcher at this point. I think they just sort of see it as a spectrum or a band or a continuum.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's all for one and one for all. And any particular cable outlet, be it Comedy Central or MSNBC or Fox News, I think all those guys get lumped together, and you know, that's a problem for some of them that try to remain objective and, as you say, call balls and strikes.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, and I'm going to make a confession here just between you and me, there are shows on Fox News now that I will turn off, or I'll go watch Storage Wars. I mean, there have been changes. You're absolutely correct. But in terms of the what I would call news integrity of certain individuals in that operation, they still hold water with me. And our guest today, Chris Steirwalt, to me, is on that list for me.
Okay, very good. We'll talk to him, I guess.
Oh, by the way, just a programming note, I'm going to have Brian Kilmeade on here in a couple of weeks. He's got
excellent.
A new book out. You know, if I were to make a list of people I'd like to have a beer with and hang out with, Kilmeade is definitely on that list. But
well, you and Donald anyway, Trump, because Trump loves Fox and Friends, and Kilmeade obviously is on that show.
Well, Kilmeade's just a funny guy, and what you see on TV is kind of what you get in person too, and I really like that. But aren't you? You know, John, you're in the sinful part of the world. How would you like to be Harvey Weinstein's PR person right now?
I think as we speak, that company is in the process of being sold. I've seen a number of tweets out there that there's a capital company that is looking to buy them out completely. So I think they're going to be, you know, swept up like a wildfire pretty soon here.
For those of you that hadn't been following the story, Harvey Weinstein, one of the most powerful producers and the Weinstein companies with his brother, is probably one of the most powerful production companies in Hollywood. Harvey's been called out on sexual assault, sexual harassment, and all this good kind of stuff, and it's kind of blown up in the Democrats' face. But, you know, in following it, and there's just so many examples, John, that we could point to, and we'll talk about a couple of them, but, you know, everybody had apoplexy on the liberal progressive side when they caught Donald Trump on a tape committing locker room talk with Billy Bush, and the silence or the delayed silence of Hollywood to me, and even with the responses that have been given by those in Hollywood about Weinstein, who is apparently a walking human pig, has been been the height of hypocrisy to me, you know. And John, you know, I'm a big boy. I've been around. I mean, liberal hypocrisy is nothing new. But just when I think they can't top themselves, this comes along.
Well, here's my best attempt to compare and contrast Harvey Weinstein and Donald Trump. I think you had a media that was very desirous at blowing up the Trump campaign during an election year and did its darndest to dig out every single thing it could with respect to things he said on Access Hollywood or anywhere else. In the case of Weinstein, the media sat on this for decades, and it was, in fact, some co-workers and some underlings of his, you know, actresses, etc., who finally came forward and said enough is enough. So I think that's a big difference, and I think that's something that, you know, people should pay attention to when they compare Weinstein to Trump. I think comparing Weinstein to Bill Clinton and, by connection, Hillary Clinton is vastly more valid.
Well, I do, too, and we're going to talk about her just mind-blowing interview with I can't remember the outlet, but it was a British reporter over in the UK. But, you know, John, you look back and people have pulled tape of Meryl Streep, you know, lecturing we deplorables about how awful Donald Trump was and clutching her pearls about, you know, what a misogynistic person he is. And then you read some of these direct accounts of Weinstein's conduct, her standing there lecturing us full well knowing the biggest open secret in Hollywood about Weinstein. I just don't see how, well, I guess I could be wrong. I guess they could maintain the credibility, but it's just, you know, I'm at a loss of words, really, to describe just how floored I am that these people knew this was going on, it was habitual, and then sit there and cast judgment on Donald Trump in the way they have. And you can name any of them. Meryl Streep, Angelina Jolie. All of these people knew that this guy was a serial womanizer, misogynist, workplace harasser, and then talk about and lecture us and become carps or scolds about Donald Trump using some locker room language. The question is are people just going to shrug their shoulders and let them get away with it? Or do you think this is going to hurt the Hollywoods?
I think there have been enablers over the years. You've seen the Barbara Walters interview with, Corey Feldman. She turns to the kid and says, "Hey, guy, do you want to take down all of Hollywood here? What are you doing?" And he had accusations of abuse, you know, when he was growing up and young and working on some of those sitcoms. So, yeah, I think there have been people, you know, male and female through the years who have looked the other way or covered for this guy or, you know, given him contracts that allowed him to have certain sexual harassment clauses. I mean, what the hell? I mean, it was written into the guy's contract.
You better hope they sell that company, because that little codicil in that contract is an affirmative defense that they condoned it, and they're going to be liable, the Weinstein Company. They ain't off the hook for this.
Well, and he's, you know, flipping off the media as he's heading into rehab and, you know, talking about getting back together with his wife and talking about some path to reconciliation. I think the extent of the denial that this guy is exhibiting right now just, you know, shows how delusional and out of touch he is.
Well, you know, I don't think it's a real shocking on, you know, in general, that there is some level of debauchery. And, you know, we've all heard the term the casting couch and all of this kind of stuff and read anecdotal stories. You know, this whole adult harassment is one thing. To me, the Corey Haim and Corey Feldman thing is just sick. OK, and we could do a whole show on the pedophilia that is rampant in Hollywood. But, you know, just what kills me is the politics of it and how everybody just remains silent this whole time. I mean, and I hate to keep making these analogies, but I mean, you got to think about it. Reverse the shoes here. If this had been Donald Trump in this level of debauchery and all of that, how do you think they would have reacted? Do you think Hillary Clinton would have waited 5 days and then gave the lame response she did?
Well, obviously it's the money, and he is taking care of the Democrat party royally here, and you got a few people, you know, Maxine Waters, who has said, give the money back. The DNC doesn't know if it's going to give the money back, and who do they give it back to? You know, are they going to give it to charity? What charities would Hillary Clinton be trusted to give Harvey Weinstein's money to at this point? You know what I'm saying?
Well, and you bring it up to another point that just kind of blew me away. There were two interview points. The first interview, quote, giving it to charity, was with Fareed Zakaria on CNN, and she seemed to be caught off guard. Well, there's nobody to give it back to, but I give my 10% of my income to charity every year, and that's going to be part of it. I mean, every time she talks, and we were talking about this off air, John, every time she talks, to me, it is a reminder of why I am so happy she's not president. Whether it been Donald Trump or anybody else on the GOP side, I thank my lucky stars every day that woman is not president of the United States. I mean, look at the responses.
Exactly. And if you want, we can sort of pivot here and talk about the very conservative agenda that Trump has pursued with or without Congress. The people on the left and the people on the right who called him a con man are just full of it at this point. And I think his governance is bearing that out.
Well, it is. And John, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the drapes have been pulled back a little bit on whether we have a Republican majority in the Senate based on the conduct and focus of certain senators. I'm not so sure we have a Republican majority, even though they have R's after their names, in the Senate.
Well, in a sense, Trump is a man without a party because he does not have the full faith and credit of the U.S. Senate, which at the particular time is a majority Republican. And we can talk about Collins or Flake or obviously McCain. You know, pretty much any bill that comes up, these guys have got a reason to vote against it. And I just don't think that, you know, short of replacing these guys, primarying these guys, I don't see how that situation gets fixed unless Trump goes down the path of a lot more executive orders, more aggressive executive orders, more than just undoing Obama stuff and actually going and, you know, implementing his own agenda. And I know some conservatives bristle at that, but what the hell? We didn't change those rules. The left did. So if they don't like those rules, they can put them back. But in the meantime, this is what we've got to do to advance our agenda because we're getting no help whatsoever from majorities in Congress and the Senate.
Well, you mentioned something that gets under my skin, John, and it's the money. And if you squint real hard and think back to back on the Gang of 405 when we were doing it during the election, I pointed to K Street as being a big problem. I mean, he's not just wrecking, you know, pencil neck civil servants and all the agencies and all of that. He is upsetting the whole eco-culture of Washington, D.C. because he can't be bought. And these guys are so neck deep into it. And I say these guys and gals, I'm talking about senators and even, you know, certain House members. When I say they pulled the drapes back on their true colors, it's one of two things. They're not staying true to conservative principles that they were elected upon. And I think you and I could probably cite 100 examples of where that's been violated. But secondly is the K Street lobbyist money that these folks are beholden to. And before it was just an unadvertised secret. But I think Washington, he's really turned the apple cart upside down in Washington, and this gear grinding and all this controversy we hear every day is them reacting, or am I wrong?
I agree. And even situations where Trump has had sit-downs with Chuck and Nancy, and the freakouts have been in abundance about him selling out to, you know, Democrat leadership. The reality is the substance of his governments has been far away from Chuck and Nancy. You know, they've had to go back to their base and their donors and you know, their caucus and say, you know, we're not on board with this stuff. So, you know, is the fact that he's talking to them and that he's issuing executive orders his way of sort of lighting a fire under Congress to do something? Probably, because I think they'd like to be relevant. I think they'd like to govern. And unless they don't get off their asses and start passing laws, which he would obviously sign. I think he's going to keep doing what he is, and you're going to see a lot more executive orders coming out, probably more aggressive attempts to dismantle Obamacare. And bad on them for promising people they would do that for 7 years and going back on that.
Well, and I think he's got a very strong case to make. What's unfortunate, in my view, John, is even through executive orders and some of the other actions that he has taken, you know, everybody talks about, well, he's not getting his legislative agenda through. Nobody's getting any agenda through in Washington, D.C., and that cesspool of Congress over there. But despite all this gear grinding and sausage making and all of it, and I'm just going to my gut here, and you know I'm in flyover America, John. I just sense that those that are his base, which is, depending on who you listen to, is 33%, 35%, but I think probably 90% of the people that voted for Trump in the 2016 election are seeing a lot of this for what it is and would vote for him again. And if the election were held today, he'd still win. In other words, they've thrown more at him, John, than even I anticipated. Okay. And I really think people are still willing to stick with him until something gives.
Yeah, I just don't see a rejuvenation on the left side of the aisle at this point. I just don't see, you know, Democrats putting people front and center who are going to effectively counter Trump. You know, they're talking about modifying their message. They're talking about being more populist. He's repealing big chunks of the Obama legacy, and they're basically doubling down on things which have failed, and he's repealed and made the economy better for it. That's not going to work.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now I'll draw a circle of what is a concern to me. I mean, you've mentioned Obamacare, and I think the actions he took this week of the cross-state lines sale of insurance policies, plus ending the subsidies to the insurance companies, is probably going to accelerate the demise of Obamacare. But we've got some big ones on the horizon here, none the least of which is tax reform, which was another centerpiece of his campaign. My only concern, John, is that they wear him out to the point he can't get even one of his key cornerstone campaign promises through. And I'm going to ask Steirwald about this, or maybe you want to ask him about it, is what are the chances of tax reform making it, and where does it kind of stand?
Well, and I acknowledge that the insurance across state borders is a small thing, but it's more than Republicans in Congress have been able to do. I don't know. I don't know where this goes from here. I don't know how to answer that question, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, you understand my concern is if they block all legislative initiatives that he campaigned on, would that maybe hurt him, or will they stick with him and see what's, you know, he says, well, send me some Republicans, will do the job. Well, that's not an overnight deal.
It isn't. On the other hand, the establishment listens to money, and at this point, money, that being the Koch brothers, appears to be blaming them for, you know, Trump's shortcomings, which maybe wasn't the case, you know, 6 months ago. You got Bannon sitting out there, who's kind of a wild card.
I was going to ask you about that. I wanted to ask you about Bannon. You know, some say he is recruiting a bunch of fruits and nuts to primary these people. Do you think his? Well, I don't doubt his personal commitment and intent to do what he says he's going to do, but do you think that will catch hold and be effective? I mean, primarying incumbent Republicans is a dangerous game.
Well, specifically, I think there should be room for a guy like excuse me, Roy Moore and the Republican Party. You know, he believes in the Ten Commandments. He believes in traditional marriage. He believes in a Judeo-Christian ethic for American governance. I see a lot of cool kids on the right sort of scoffing at that guy and, you know, holding their noses. Why? I just don't get it. They're embarrassed by him, and they shouldn't be. So if those are the kind of guys that, you know, Bannon is going to gravitate toward or assist or, you know, help get elected in primaries, My question is, you know, what the hell's wrong with that?
I don't have a problem with it in that specific instance. I just, you know, I read a headline somewhere that, you know, he had recruited another Sharon Angle or whatever that girl was in Delaware, the witch lady, that in one of the races you had kind of a borderline person like that. But I mean, if he is recruiting viable candidates that will actually deliver and live up to the conservative principles upon which they run, what a novel concept.
Yeah, you know, and maybe you and I will agree to disagree, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the Sharon Angles or Kelly Wards out there. I think they're in an environment where there's just a dearth of you know, grassroots activity and people who fail to rally around, you know, guys like Heller or guys like Jeff Flake.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it just, I don't know about you, but I'm really gravitating to some more, what I would say, credible and substantial Washington policy resources like Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, I guess Jimmy Kimmel is Americans' conscience when it comes to health care and whatever his son got in terms of care in a hospital, which evidently treats people for free, treats children for free. But he won't speak up about Harvey Weinstein, and he's no longer Americans' conscience. So there.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think about it all, John. I just, you know, is the cultural divide so deep? Is that what's driving this? Or is just the blind hatred by the Hollywood set the deal on all of this negative pushback on Trump?
Well, Kimmel has said he doesn't give a rat's ass if Trump voters watch him. I mean, is that something that you would have heard, you know, Leno say or Johnny Carson say or even Letterman before he freaked out say? Hell no. I guess they just sort of feel that's fair game right now. And, you know, part of their effort to save their skins and their declining late night ratings and declining cable and TV viewership is to, you know, take a poke at Trump voters. And they think that's going to improve their lot. Good luck, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, secretly, I say a little prayer and that I hope they all crash and burn as a result of it, just on principle. You know, I don't have any extra grind with Jimmy Kimmel, except I think he ought to stick to his job. But I mean, there's so many people having identity crisis. You got late night entertainers being the quote conscience of America on public policy, and you got people on the airwaves saying they're pundits are experts and they're 23 and 24 years old. And then you've got people like Shepard Smith, who's supposed to be the marquee piece of Fox News, quote, breaking news desk, who gives more incendiary opinions and snark as he delivers said news than Bill O'Reilly ever did. So the world is upside down, John.
Yes, it is.
Well, there's one other thing I wanted to talk to you about. Number one, screw you. Your Packers beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, it's worse than that because Aaron Rodgers appears to be out for the year with a broken collarbone. As you know, I'm still kind of gung-ho about the NFL. I don't wish it ill. I sure hope they kick all the assholes out who don't stand for the national anthem. On the other hand, I was kind of stoked about watching football. I got a team that was doing pretty well. I know a lot of other fans and other teams that were doing well feel the same way. And they felt, you know, this is something that we can get over with and get beyond. And, you know, now my team has got a second-string quarterback. And I got to admit, I'm a lot less stoked about watching football games right now. You know, I'm not gonna watch a CFL quarterback for the last 10 games of the year, especially if your pal Tony Romo sitting out there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh God, don't get me started. I didn't know. I didn't know about Rodgers' collarbone. That's for sure. I just.
Oh yeah, he made the Drudge Report the hard way.
Oh wow, Oh, wow. Well, I hate to hear anybody getting hurt like that. I mean, Rodgers is just a champion, and I saw it in the game against the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, I'm an NFL fan like you are, but in this household, if they're going to be broadcasting people disrespecting the flag, channels were going to be changed. But that's just me. But I still enjoy watching NFL football, but I think Trump may have won that argument on disrespecting the flag and what he was trying to do there.
I think he did, and it was because he had the backs of the fans, and he had the backs of the American public, who by and large have supported him on this and still do, and that's not going to change.
Yeah, well, I think it'll go away, but then Al Michaels said some sort of comment. What was it on Sunday Night Football, or maybe it was? Do you know which one?
He made some comparison between the Jets and Harvey Weinstein or something. You know, people
having
in the media
week.
Seem to be exactly. You know, people in the media seem to be more outraged about a doom Harvey Weinstein joke uttered by Al Michaels than they seem to be outraged by Harvey Weinstein himself. That's just the way those guys roll, I guess.
Do you remember when the Democrats used to make fun of us of not having a sense of humor?
I sure do. And golly, they sure don't have one now, do they?
Oh, they sure don't. They sure don't. Hey, what do you think, John? We talk to Chris Starwalt and see what he's got to say about some of this stuff.
Let's do it, man.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back after the commercial break, we will have Fox News politics editor Chris Starwalt join us. And John and I'll do a frickin' frack and kind of get his take on what the latest is on all these headlines we've covered. Stay with us. A lot of show to go. We'll be back with Chris Starwalt from Fox News. Keep it tuned right here. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
Be his first day back in a bed, not surrounded by hospital monitors. Be his first awkward dance at prom, his interview at his first real job.
When you join the Be the Match Merrill Registry, you unlock the power to save a life and all the living that comes with it.
Be his memory of warm summer nights surrounded by fireflies. Be his tent beneath the stars. his perfectly sharpened marshmallow stick, and his first burnt marshmallow.
Go to BeTheMatch.org to find more information on the power inside you and the life-threatening diseases that power can heal. With a simple swab from inside your cheek, you'll be a registered marrow donor.
Be his freedom on the open road. His first traffic ticket. His first, and if he can help it, his last opera.
Thousands of patients, young and old, are searching for a match. Be the one to save a life. Take the first step at BeTheMatch.org.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
And welcome back to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio and now on Gab at Pops Radio or the network at the 405 Radio. Never a dull moment. Really excited to have my next guest on. You know, he always objects to me giving him this moniker, but I truly believe it. One of the brains behind the news and the Washington Bureau of our beloved Fox News. He is Fox News politics editor Chris Steirwalt. Thanks for joining us, man.
You bet.
I'm very happy to have you. You know, we had this other dude on about 3 or 4 weeks ago named Brett Baer.
I know that guy.
Yeah, you may have run into him before. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked him. You know, we dress you up, we send you to Washington, and why the hell haven't you guys gotten this sorted out there in Washington with this whole Trump deal? Are things getting worse or are things getting better, or it's just getting weird?
Well, as you know, politics is an expectations game. That's what politics is all about. And Americans have misplaced expectations in their government. Probably not unrealistically, because people who run for office always promise to do more and better, right? Calvin Coolidge would not sweep the nation today because he ran basically saying, I promise not to screw up too much, and I promise not to interfere with what's going on unless it's absolutely necessary, and we're going to have a very restrained and humble government. Instead, right. What Republicans and Democrats alike both promise are huge things. And we have supplanted family, local, state and regional aspirations and fealty for this national concept. As a consequence, people expect the federal government to do more and be more, but it's not within the power of the federal government to do most of these things. It is not a dream machine. So as a consequence of all of that, of course people are unhappy. As a friend of mine used to say, they don't sell milk at the Home Depot. Don't be mad at the Home Depot if you go there for milk and they're not stocking it. And the federal government can't do all of the things that Republicans and Democrats alike promise that it will, so people are angry. As a consequence, they become more susceptible to demagoguery when the next election rolls around, because they are angry. They don't, maybe not for legitimate reasons, but a feeling can't be right or wrong. It's just a feeling. And as politicians appeal to feeling more than fact, we end up where we are, which is people are frustrated and susceptible to, you know, I'll put it this way. When you think about what Bernie Sanders would be promising if he were the Democratic nominee in 2020, right? It would be to counter everything Donald Trump did, to eviscerate. There is no Donald Trump. We'll unperson him, and then the federal government will give you everything that you ever wanted. And, you know, that's antithetical to our founders' vision and principle for the country, which was that that's not what the federal government does. That's just not its job, and it's not even set up even now in the administrative state era. It's not set up to do it. It just can't succeed.
And as usual, you nail it with an insightful point that I haven't thought of. And, you know, your conclusion there, or your theory there, is pretty valid, because, and I think it may be understandable, because we spent, if you count a year's campaign, you know, 9 years of an Obama era where people were conditioned to think that the government was the solution to all the problems.
That's right. And, you know, we had, part of this is a consequence of the 9/11 era. But, you know, if we think back to George W. Bush and his 2000 campaign, if we think about how Bill Clinton ran, if we think about the way George H.W. Bush ran, the way Ronald Reagan ran, these were about managing expectations. It was not about the great society ideas of the Johnson era. These concepts were so far out of favor. The idea of the federal government building the builder of great things, I'll put it this way. If Bill Clinton helped Democrats get past the ghosts of Vietnam, right, Barack Obama helped Democrats get past the ghosts of the Great Society. And to learn again to love massive government interventions, massive government programs, and no humility. And as a consequence of all of these things, we end up with both parties being basic of populist bent, with a strong preference for activism, and there is ruin there for. And I'm not talking about within the Trump administration necessarily. I'm talking about over the longer arc. If you become a nation where you're led by demagogues who made bolder and bolder promises, socialism killed Venezuela, but it was populist demagoguery, really, more than anything else, that ruined that country.
Hey, Chris, I got a question for you. This is John Grant. Wilbur Ross, I think, cited 800 regulations which Donald Trump has either rolled back, repealed, or modified. There are untold numbers of jobs in the bureaucracy that are going unfilled. I think we can argue that to the extent that he can, with no help whatsoever from Congress, you know, Trump is governing as a conservative and trying to shrink government as much as he can, and we can throw the, you know, minimalist Obamacare repeals that he signed as an executive order last week. Yet, as you said, people like Bernie Sanders are going to campaign on bigger involvement in government. You know, how successful can you be if you look at Trump's record of sort of paring back as best he can the bureaucracy and the economy being better for it? I mean, how can the Democrats come back and say we need to double down on all these failed policies which Donald Trump has for the most part eliminated?
Well, we are a long way from the barn on health insurance. What the president did last week, which was in one part a conservative reform, which was association health plans basically allow companies to band together with limited liability for themselves and offer health insurance plans to their employees. This is this something that conservatives have been talking about since the time of John McCain, when they were trying to get him to make it part of his health proposal in 2008. This is something that people like Rand Paul and others have wanted. The other piece of it, though, where he says he's going to cut off the payments to basically the victims of Obamacare. These are the people who lost doctors, lost plans, get marooned in Obamacare exchanges, and buying insurance that is more expensive than they want. So these people got totally hosed by Obamacare. A lot of them did. Millions of them did. And then the administration, new administration, says, and we're not going to pay the subsidy. So you have to buy these policies by the regs, but you're not going to have any currency, you're not going to have any support from the government to do it. So he has set up this cliff where we're really just in a matter of days, and that's why they're having this discussion. Mitch McConnell's at the White House today. They're going to have lunch, and they're going to talk about basically, okay, we have kited checks on Obamacare, on the DACA, the Dreamer people, on the government shutdown clock, resetting that to the end of the year. The tax plan is tied up in all of that. So all of these bills are coming due. Whether or not, I'll put it to you this way. I think you're right. You've rightly identified what will matter to voters in 2018 and matter to voters in 2020 is, am I better off? Are things going better? Is my household income up? You know, we saw household income start to rise really for the first time in 2016. If that trend continues, if people feel wealthier, if they feel more secure, if they feel like their health insurance is in line and the country's safe, then Donald Trump can say whatever he wants about the national anthem, and people will say, it's okay. Keep going in this direction. If they fail, and it doesn't matter really whether they fail to the right or to the left for those persuadable vote, non-ideological voters in the middle, if they fail to deliver and things get worse, people will freak and they will punish. It always happens. They just punish the party that's in power, whether it's that party's fault, strictly speaking, or not.
Well, crap, we're out of time. but seriously, before you go, real quick, we're not going to litigate Weinstein here, but I've been dying to ask you this question since you agreed to be on the show. What did you think of Hillary's response to the British reporter accusing Trump of being a woman abuser in the White House? Go ahead.
It was a doozy. I think that people of a certain age will remember that it took quite a lot for Democrats, including Hillary Clinton, to tame feminists who were much less powerful in those days in regard to her husband's own impeachment. That was not easy because they said, you can't victimize, this cannot be a consensual relationship. She's a 21-year-old intern. You're the president of the United States, 30 years her senior. This is not possible, and this is wrong. And it took a lot to get them to a boys will be boys place, and it was basically the promise that if you interfere with Bill Clinton's presidency, you'll lose elective abortion, you'll lose funding for this, funding for that. So I think to a large degree, Democrats, including Hillary Clinton, forgot about all that was boiling right underneath that lid. And the Weinstein expose, which is actually in a weird way the fruit of using this issue against Donald Trump, now the cannibalization on the left has just begun. And it will be about rooting out everybody who ever grabbed anybody's behind, and everybody, all of this stuff is going to take place now. And always remember this, we kill our enemies in battle, but we burn heretics at the stake. And as the purge of feminist heretics goes on the left, it's going to be pretty brutal.
Well, for me, Chris, and I'll let you go. For me, until further notice, I think the more she talks, the worse it is for Democrats. And I'm kind of cheering her on. You know, I see something like that.
If I was Donald Trump, I think Donald Trump is 100% right. He should hope that they run Hillary Clinton every time.
Exactly. Well, man, I don't want to make you late for another appointment here. You are such a gentleman, and I just want to tell you, I don't have a chance to talk offline. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this show. We're very fond of you here at the 405, and I know our listeners love hearing from you. And guys, you can follow him at Chris Starwalt on Twitter, and go to foxnews.com and subscribe to his halftime report. That is something to read. Chris, really, thanks for being on.
Hey, no problem. You guys have a great day.
We'll talk to you again. Thanks.
Bye.
There you go, folks. Chris Starwalt. John, it just kind of flew by. It got away from me.
Yeah, that 9 minutes went quickly, didn't it?
Well, it always does, but I don't know about you. I thought he gave us a little bit of insight on a couple of issues that are important to our folks.
Yeah, I kind of dragged him kicking and screaming into saying something nice about Trump, and he almost took the bait.
Well, you know what? If you want to satisfy that, maybe we need to try to get Hannity on, and on the day you co-host next month or something like that, I bet you wouldn't have as much trouble.
Yeah, you know, there are guys at Fox who are fighting the good fight, and there are others who are indistinguishable from CNN or MSNBC, and I'll let it go with that.
I don't think Starwalt's one, do you?
No, but, you know, just to indulge these people to the extent that you do? And I know a lot of them tend to be some of their, you know, contributors or talking heads. I mean, I can get that stuff on CNN and MSNBC, and Chris is okay. Steyerwalt is okay. He's one of those, as you said, balls and strikes guys. You know, I like to give credit where credit is due, and I think, you know, Trump has not been the con man that Never Trump has said he would be, and, you know, still to some extent believe he's some sort of poser. You know, the Bill Crystals out there, et cetera, and, you know,
oh,
I think he's doing what he can
on that
with
asshole.
A very conservative agenda, with a Congress who is supposed to be more conservative and is fighting him every step of the way. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, John, I don't think you and I are that far apart on this. I mean, some of the people that you have named off here, I can't even stand. I mean, the Jonah Goldbergs of the world. I don't know if you saw the little Twitter flap. Somebody called Jonah Goldberg a bloviating blowhard, and Stephen Hayes from the Weekly Standard liked the tweet. And Jonah Goldberg tweeted back, E2, Stephen. So,
yeah. I've got a pretty long list of people like, you know, Jonah and Stephen. And, you know, my attitude is...
And I know you don't care for Noah Rothman, too. Let's be honest about
well,
that.
Well, I know he's a friend of yours. You've had him on a lot. He is on that Salon list, by the way, as is his boss, Podoritz. But, you know, the way I look at it, I've only got a certain amount of time to consume people that I consider to be, you know, very good conservative, right-wing pundits, bloggers, people on Twitter, etc. You know, why should I give Jonah Goldberg a pat on the head for stating the obvious about Harvey Weinstein, you know, when he's kicking sand at me every other day because he's mad that he was wrong about Trump and I was right about Trump? Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I'm just suggesting to you, I seem to be getting this vibe from you that somehow you and I have got a lot of daylight between us on that list and all of that. And I'm just suggesting that it's probably not as big of a gap as you might think. Because, you know, I love Noah.
Not really. It's just, you know, I think you and I may differ because I think, you know, you like to give benefit of the doubt to, you know, using your term, the 360 degrees guys. And at this point, I think we're in a war, you know, and I think we need to, you know, rely on people who are helping us, you know, crush the other side and not saying, well, you know, Trump did make a little modification to Obamacare. We still have a long way to go. Well, you know, that is obvious. We do have a long way to go. You know, but this thing took a long time to get as bad as it did. Obamacare was designed to completely crush and eliminate, you know, certain markets and certain market participants that don't exist anymore. And it's going to take some time to, you know, put it back to close to where it was before or making it better than where it was before. So I'm a kind of a glass half full guy when it comes to that.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, John and I are going to have some final thoughts. Keep it tuned right here. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.
And
405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the talk alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
And welcome back to Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, right here on the 45, right here on the 405 radio. I was thinking about sticking a 45 to my head and pulling the trigger today. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's Monday. It's Monday. It's Monday, John. God, time flies when I have you on and when we have good guests on. I really appreciate you being here. We didn't get to get into the Weinstein thing the way I wanted to. With Chris Steierwalt, but he seems to be in agreement that Hillary is a boon for Donald Trump right now.
Yeah, I would agree. As you mentioned, Trump said, I wish she runs in 2020. But to go back to the pocketbook issues here, on Drudge today, Dow Jones hits 23,000. There's a link that says, update Trump and the dismantling of Obama's legacy. I'm not a big player in the stock market, so the 23,000 thing, you know, doesn't necessarily faze me. But, man, I sure did vote for a guy who was going to dismantle the Obama legacy. And it sure seems like he, and not the Republican Congress, is more gung-ho about doing that right now.
Well, I'm not big in the stock market either. But, I mean, I think it's one of the chief economic indicators that people tend to measure the presidency by. I mean, imagine if it was, you know, 23,000 the other way, you know. So, you know, I think
here's another
is.
Headline, if you need some hope. Austrian whiz kid triumphs an election. This 31-year-old, I guess, for lack of a better term, nationalist, believes that immigrants and refugees deserve fewer free things from government. So, you know, maybe the tide is turning even in the European Union.
Well, I don't think you can ignore that, John. I think there is an element of that. I don't think it took hold in Merkel's reelection, but I do sense that, well, I mean, you could look at the Brexit thing, talk about a big surprise to them. That was a populist movement that won. So you may be right, John. I know the direction we were going, and we would have continued on with Hillary Rodham Clinton, I think would have been bad for all of us.
Yes. And I don't think nationalism is a dirty word. I think economic nationalism is what people in this country voted for and what they wanted. And what are the socialists saying right now? They've had to rebrand and they call themselves democratic socialists.
Yeah.
So, you know, is that going to be a message for Democrats in 2018 or 2020? I don't think so. They're upset that you know, Weinstein is too far to, Dianne Feinstein is too far to the center, and she's got all these crazy, rabid, foaming at the mouth liberal Democrats that want to go after her in the primaries. I think that's insane. You know, well, I think somebody like her, you know, she's an old school liberal, and all the nasty things you want to say about her, you know, we could do a lot worse as far as Democrats from California.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, I'll tell you, from your lips to God's ears, but I don't think this Trump effect, we're tired of Washington thing, is going to expire in 2013 or 2018 or 2020. But, man, we've run out of time. John, thanks for being on today.
You bet. Thank you, Scott. We'll do it again.
And my big thanks to Chris Starwalt from Fox News, digital politics editor. And he hit me with an insight I hadn't thought of. So that's always a good day for you and me, listeners. Keep it tuned right here throughout the day for great programming. We'll see you next week. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.